Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Answering the Call, offering a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of local priests, deacons, and religious. And now, Answering the Call with Elizabeth Biccicelli.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Biccicelli, and since this is a vocations program, I'm always delighted to have a guest who's all about the business of vocations. I'm very pleased to have joining us today Sister June Fitzgerald. Sister June is a vocations minister for the Dominican Sisters of Peace right here in Columbus, and she's here to share her own story today of hearing and responding to God's call. So thanks for joining us, Sister, on Answering the Call.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for inviting me, Elizabeth.
It's great to have you here. And I know, Sister, that your first home was Jacksonville, North Carolina. That's where you were born. So tell us a little bit about the Catholic family that you grew up in.
Well, I grew up in a family that was Catholic. My mom actually converted to Catholicism when she married my father. And we lived in North Carolina because my father was in the Marine Corps. And our family was the typical, I think, Catholic family. We went to church on Sunday and celebrated all of the feasts. But we didn't do anything in particular at home in terms of daily prayer or rosary. But there was always a sense that we were Catholic, and we always had crucifixes in our home, mm-hmm. in our bedrooms. And so it was something we knew and was just part of our everyday life.
Okay. And you mentioned your dad was in the military, mm-hmm. and so that would cause a relocation of your family when you were about 8 years old. You went to then from North Carolina to Virginia, mm-hmm. outside yes. Washington, D.C. Yes. That was right about the time you were preparing for First Holy Communion.
Yes, it actually was right in the midst of my preparation for First Holy Communion. I had been attending catechism in North Carolina, and I was very disappointed that we had to move and I wasn't going to be able to make my first communion with the rest of my classmates. But when we moved to Virginia, my parents took me to meet with our new pastor in Virginia, and he asked me a few questions, and I must have passed the test because he said, "Why don't you make your first communion next weekend?" And so my mom made me a special dress, and I was the only first communicant that day. Wow. I felt so blessed and honored to have that distinction. It really has stayed with me over the years, and I am so thankful to God that I was able to receive him in the Blessed Sacrament.
Yeah, what a special memory for you. And your own personal faith and the faith of your family seemed to deepen in Virginia. Mm-hmm. How so, would you say?
Well, I think my family became more involved in our local parish. And even at one point, there wasn't someone to teach the catechism class for the fourth grade that I was in. And so my mom stepped up and she became our CCD teacher and went on to continue that ministry for a number of years. Even when I moved on, she continued teaching catechism. And that showed me a willingness to step up when God called you or calls you to something, even if you're not expecting it. She stepped up and she helped us to continue to grow in our faith.
And how was your own faith deepening, would you say, in your elementary years?
I began to know God as a personal friend. Mm. I never had the image of God as scary or far away. I always felt that God was very close to me. And I remember my mom telling me that any time I could turn to God and God would answer me, would listen to me, and was always there, closer than I am to my own self. And so that has stayed with me, that God is a companion on my journey.
That's a atypical view of a lot of Catholics mm-hmm. I hear growing up. They mostly mm-hmm. grew up with that fear, mm-hmm. you know, that fear. So it was nice that you had that advantage. What did you think as you were a child, think about what you wanted to do when you grew up? What were your interests?
Well, I wanted to be a nurse like my mom, or I wanted to be a tour guide. Because when I grew up outside of Washington, D.C., and we had the occasion to visit many of the museums and other historical sites, and I was always fascinated by the people who could teach others and show each other the way. And so as a child, I wanted to be a tour guide. And in some ways now, in my ministry, I think I'm a pilgrim guide.
That's true. That's
people,
a great point.
Yes. Yeah. Are searching for God's call in their life.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a great connection. Now, you attended public school all your life, because some of the areas you lived in, there weren't a big Catholic population
to begin with.
So it really wasn't until college would be your first actual experience in a Catholic institution. But so for your sacrament preparation, you did that through CCD classes. Mm-hmm. You had a rather unique experience preparing for your confirmation.
Yes, actually, I had the great honor to be able to receive the sacrament of confirmation along with my mom. She converted before she was married, but didn't have the opportunity to make her confirmation for a number of reasons as we moved around. And so when I began my preparations, my mom decided that this would be a good opportunity for her to really be able to come fully into all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so she and I studied together. I went to the catechism class with my peers. When I came home, she and I would sit down with our workbooks and we would discuss things and go over it. And she and I were able to make that spiritual journey together to confirmation. And my father was the sponsor for both myself and my mom.
And I think that's a great idea, whether we're cradle Catholics, converts, or whatever, to learn side by side with our kids as they're making those sacraments. I'm sure we can all stand to learn more about that. Who did you choose for your confirmation saint?
Well, my confirmation saint was Saint Joan of Arc, because I really felt she was a woman of courage.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be somebody who was courageous, that would answer God's call, would stand out, not personally, but to be able to have the courage to go where God would call me.
Yeah, she's a great saint. Can't go wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then during high school now, religious education classes are behind you. There wasn't a lot at that time for you to develop your spirituality, a lot like classes, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But you did have an increasing appreciation for the Mass.
Yes, I did. It was something I can't really explain. And I think a lot of things with God are like that. I felt this increasing desire to go to church, definitely on Sunday, but also I had an increasing desire to know God more. I remember getting my first Bible and my first rosary and teaching myself how to pray the rosary. Though I knew how to pray it, I didn't know all the mysteries, and so I got a little book and learned about it. And that became one of my constant companions, my rosary. I would bring it with me almost everywhere and put it under my pillow at night. And I really felt that Mary accompanied me along my way through my high school years and into college.
Okay, so deepening in your faith, not yet feeling a vocational calling, not yet.
No.
And after high school, you selected a small Catholic college, an all-women's college in Philadelphia, Chestnut Hill College.
Yes.
So why there?
I chose that college because I had gone to an enormous high school. There were almost 800 students in my graduating class.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted a place where I could feel at home and I could be nurtured. And I wanted to study science. I wanted to major in biology. And I wanted to continue playing my clarinet that I had been playing since the fifth grade. And I saw that opportunity there. And it was a small, intimate community where I felt I could fit in and be supported in my faith, in my just in my academic years. And so I chose Chestnut Hill College in Philadelphia and moved away from home for the first time.
You're listening to the voice of Sister June Fitzgerald. She's the vocations minister for the Dominican Sisters of Peace here in Columbus, and she's our guest today on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli. So, Sister June, Chestnut Hill was your first experience now of a Catholic learning institution.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the sisters there, your first exposure to sisters?
Yes, it was my first exposure to sisters, and I have to admit that when I first went there, I didn't know that it was appropriate to call them sister. I had grown up in a military family, and you called everybody yes, ma'am, or yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
That was appropriate. And so when I first went to college, the first week, I kept saying, oh, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. Finally, one of the sisters told me, you can just call me sister. I was a little embarrassed, but I quickly picked up that practice. And I was really impressed by the sisters there as professors. They knew their subject, but they also knew how to reach out and to nurture their students in a way beyond just being a normal professor and doing your duties. They reached out and they wanted us to really learn and to know that we could make a contribution to society as women.
What kind of sisters were they?
They were Sisters of St. Joseph of Chestnut Hill, Philadelphia.
Okay. Dominican?
No, they were Sisters of St. Joseph.
Oh, okay. That is so that's the order, Sisters of St. Joseph. And, you know, and so they impressed you both academically and then how they interacted with the students?
Yes.
Positive also?
Yes, very positive. They showed us love for each other. They enjoyed each other. I began to see them as real people and not just some stereotypical sister in the movies or in the books. They were people who lived together in community. We saw them at prayer. We went to Mass with them. Some of them, God bless them, lived in the dormitories where we lived. And I know now the great sacrifice they made to do that. And I am grateful for that because they showed us that you could live a life of faith and a life that God had called them to in a way that was vibrant and alive. And they helped others to grow and to thrive.
Well, between those Sisters of St. Joseph that were your instructors and Catholic students that you were among there, how was your faith impacted at college?
I think even having the first Catholic friends, this is where I had my first Catholic friends in college. And one of my good friends, I went home with her several times to visit her family or over a break. And they were the first family I ever encountered personally who prayed together. They prayed the rosary together each evening. They prayed before and after meals. Certainly in my family, we would pray grace on big occasions, on big holidays, but not every day. And so this, a good friend of mine, she introduced me to that in her family setting. And I began to go to not every day daily Mass, but began to go to Mass more frequently, learned about adoration, and found it a great resource and a great way of being fed by God in my own personal life and spiritually on my journey.
So how and when did you transition from, for instance, just admiring the Sisters of St. Joseph from afar to actually considering becoming a religious yourself?
Well, I think the first time I actually started considering it was probably at the end of my senior year of college. But it didn't seem like anything that I could do because I was just kind of a mediocre or everyday Catholic. I wasn't a holy person who always had a vocational call. I wasn't sure that I would be worthy of it. And so I went back to Virginia and began working there. I also began going on retreats at the Dominican Retreat House in McLean, Virginia, with the Dominican Sisters. And it was there for the first time I saw sisters leading the retreats and actually preaching on the retreats. And I was very touched by the way that they broke open the Word of God and shared it with us, with their words, with their actions, with their prayers.
So, you know, and I know this would plant big seeds in your life, these retreat experiences. God's going to use that in your story. But so you're working, as you said, you know, you'd received this Bachelor's of Science and Biology degree from the college. You're working in purchasing for a hospital system. So you're in this hospital environment, healthcare environment. But this inner prompting is still there to explore religious life. So what continued steps did you make in your discernment process?
Well, as I began to feel that God had something more in store for me than just working and going home, and I dated and I tried to look at ways maybe God was calling me to for the rest of my life, and I began hearing this call, perhaps, to religious life. And one of the great blessings I had was at the retreat house in McLean, one of the sisters there, Sister Ann Lithgow, began speaking with a number of people on retreat who were discerning a life call, who were discerning a vocation to religious life, who were discerning a vocation to long-term service, people who were really seeking what God wanted for them in their life. And so Sister Ann brought together about 10 people, men and women, to form a discernment group that met monthly at the retreat house. And we discussed everything from prayer to community. There were guest speakers on a variety of topics. And I began to journey with other people who were discerning religious life. And that was a great assistance to me, along with going on a couple of come and see retreats with my congregation. And it was very instrumental in seeing that I could see myself in that life. It's like we have come and see retreats that we sponsor through the Dominican Sisters of Peace, and we have one coming up on March 11th to 13th here in Columbus. We certainly welcome anybody who's interested in that retreat. I believe the retreat experience for me helped to really solidify that call I was hearing from God. And I was so nervous when I went on that first retreat. I was not sure what I was getting into. And but it was after being there for half a day, I began to feel at home.
Hmm. How did your family respond to your interest in a religious vocation?
Well, it was actually a mixed response. My younger sister was very supportive, and she even said to me, "That makes sense." And then she went on doing what she was doing. And my parents, however, were a little more reticent about it. My mother really had a difficult time with it and didn't want me to pursue it. She felt that I would be wasting my talents, that that I would never see them again.
Mm-hmm.
They felt that I would be leaving them. And so, but over the years, and when I entered, they had come around and they were very supportive. And I think it was finally, after I entered, they finally came to 100% supportive of
yeah.
my call.
And you're certainly not the first guest on the program who's talked about, mm-hmm. you know, not having the, you know, complete buy-in in the beginning
yes.
by parents. Many people
yes.
think, oh, you're going to be lonely, you're,
no.
you know, going to miss out on so much.
No.
And then, of course, we all know when we are living mm-hmm. our true vocation
yeah.
is when we have our greatest joy.
Exactly.
Our greatest fulfillment.
Exactly.
So you would begin your formation process with the Dominican Sisters
mm-hmm.
of St. Catherine Dorici
mm-hmm.
in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to kind of give a snapshot for our listeners of your okay. path. For the next 8 years, because the Dominicans have a long process,
mm-hmm.
You would study and work, because their study and work go together, in locations such as Philadelphia, upstate New York, and Miami, Florida. Along the way, Dominicans are very educated. You earned your master's in Christian spirituality, and you'd be serving as a spiritual director and retreat leader. That sounds like a perfect fit mm-hmm. after all you've shared about your love for retreats for your own
mm-hmm.
self. In 2004, you returned to Virginia, your home, for 5 years before locating in 2009 to Philadelphia, where you served as a coordinator for the health care of retired and infirm sisters. So we see there's God working in your vocation with your attraction to the healthcare field. So,
yes.
you know, check that one off. I mean, he's so good. He always connects our dots
yes.
for us. But something else was happening in 2009, and that is the Dominican Sisters of Peace was officially formed here in Columbus, and congregations were beginning to join. So when did the Sisters of St. Catherine Dorici get involved with that?
We actually began speaking with the Dominican Sisters of Peace in 2009, shortly after they were founded, about our desire to join with them, to merge with their congregation for the future of our ministry and for our sisters, and as Dominicans, to be able to bring those ministries together for the glory of God.
Okay, so the conversation started in the beginning, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. it was officially
in December 2012, we merged with the Dominican Sisters of Peace.
Okay.
And I'm very happy to be a Dominican Sister of Peace.
Okay, and we're happy yeah. to have you here in the
yes.
Columbus Diocese.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about 2013 when you officially moved here.
Yes.
And now you have this appointment as a vocations minister. You're
mm-hmm.
actually a co-minister.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Pat Dool is the other vocations minister for the Sisters of Peace. So tell us what you do in that capacity.
I walk with women who are discerning a call to religious life by having monthly discussions with them, either by phone or in person. We host come and see retreats. We reach out to women in college, young adult women, and other places. We're going to be at Ohio State University at the Newman Center this Sunday night to speak about Dominican religious life along with the Paulist Fathers. And we also are going to be reaching out and working with the young adult ministers in the Diocese of Columbus, helping them learn more about discernment. So much of our ministry is helping others discern their call, to get the tools they need and to encourage them to say yes to God.
Yeah. So there you are, that spiritual tour guide we talked about earlier. So it sounds like very exciting work, very well suited for someone with your background. How are vocations growing, and what kind of women do you see today coming, you know, for the discernment process of religious life?
Well, God is certainly still calling people to religious life. I can assure you of that. Many of the women we have in formation right now have a very diverse cultural backgrounds. We are seeing more and more of that across the country and other congregations also. As a vocation minister, I recently attended a National Religious Vocation Conference, and there was a panel of young religious of multicultural backgrounds. And in our congregation, very specifically, the women who are in initial formation, four out of the five have diverse backgrounds. One was born and raised in Hungary. Mm-hmm. Another was born in Mexico and grew up in Texas. Another was born in Nigeria and has lived here for quite a number of years. And the fourth one is from Vietnam and has lived in Texas for about 20 years. So we're seeing women of a variety of cultural backgrounds, educational experiences, job experiences, variety of different family experiences also.
And that multicultural aspect makes sense because our country as a nation demographically is changing and becoming more diverse. And so that seems like these women who probably speak more than one language can now offer, you know, a whole new service, a whole new ministry to people maybe that you weren't able to reach as easily before. So and you say that is a national trend.
Yes, it is a national trend across the board. Men and women who are responding to the call to religious life represent every culture and every nationality you can think of.
That's awesome. Sister June, what's your hope for the Dominican Sisters of Peace?
Well, that's a big question. My hope for the Dominican Sisters of Peace is that we can continue to preach God's word of peace. Jesus preached peace. Jesus reached out to so many people and helped them find God's love. And my hope is that we can continue to preach God's peace, live God's peace, and build God's peace in the world. And this year, as we're celebrating the 800th anniversary of the Dominican Order, we join with all the Dominicans around the world in promoting this dream that Dominic had 800 years ago to send out preachers to all the world. And as Dominican Sisters of Peace, I hope that we continue to reach out and to help people find that peace that our world so desperately needs today.
Amen to that, for sure. Mm-hmm. So I have to ask you the question. I mean, I typically ask my guests this, but since you are a vocations minister, I mean, this is really the call within a call right now that God has you performing. You know, I love to know what advice you might have for women, you know, who might be listening to God's call to enter religious life. And as I was listening to you describe, the women who are presenting themselves for consideration are coming from every background possible, age possible, education possible. So it doesn't seem like you have to fit a certain profile to become a religious today.
No, you need to be yourself. Mm-hmm. God made you unique and beautiful just as you are. If a young woman was coming to me for discernment, I would encourage her, first of all, to pray for God's will, for clarity, to speak to a friend, a spiritual director, someone that they trust about their call. And by bringing it out into the open like that, God can help you look at it from God's perspective. How is God calling you to religious life? And I would encourage you to reach out to religious congregations, to visit them, to go on these come and see retreats, and ultimately to have the courage like Joan of Arc had, to follow God's call and to step out, even though people didn't understand it, to step out in faith and know that God is there for you and God is leading you and you will never be abandoned, and to trust God.
Yeah. And you know, even if a person pursues this or tests this call, doesn't mean that is where God's calling.
No.
But it seems to give you at least that certainty that, you know, okay, this is not where I am called to married life or whatever it might be, but to go ahead and have that courage to at least.
Right. And it could really help you in your discernment for where God is really calling you. If you enter religious life and then discover through prayer and reflection and discernment that this isn't where God's called you, well, you can take what you have learned and experienced during that time forward with you.
Absolutely.
As you enter into the married life or continue single or in service. pursue another life choice, a life call. But you deserve it to yourself, to God, to give God a chance, I think.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, Sister June Fitzgerald, we appreciate you. You want to give the website out for Sisters of Peace,
yes,
if people have questions?
The Dominican Sisters of Peace, our website is www.opeace.org. And you can go there for more information about our congregation, about our Come and See retreats, and other events in this area. We've been here over 150 years in Columbus, and we're going strong.
Awesome. Would you leave us with a prayer?
Yes. May God, Creator, bless us. May God, Redeemer, heal us. And may God, the Holy Spirit, fill us with life.
Wow, that was awesome. Thank you, Sister June Fitzgerald, for the song, the prayer, and for being with us today. This is Elizabeth Ficicelli, host of Answering the Call. Join us on Tuesdays and Sundays at 12:30 for another edition. Have a wonderful week, and God bless.
Answering the Call is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Sanctity.